John chapter 1. It was a wonderful journey through 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It's hard to break away from that, but excited to get into a gospel this morning. The gospel of John is what that is. John was one of the disciples, one of the apostles. He followed Jesus around for those 3 years, and now he's going to tell about it. There's different Johns in the Bible, so don't get them confused with John the Baptist, who will be talked about also in chapter 1. John here is the one that, at that Last Supper, put his head on the breast of Jesus, on the chest of Jesus, his heart broken for the Lord, loving the Lord God, one that was called the Son of Thunder, you know, just kind of tough fisherman or whatever at a certain point in his life, and now he called the Apostle of Love. Here he begins at the beginning, the very beginning. Unlike any other gospel, he starts right there, the beginning before even creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We're going to talk about beginnings today. We all had a beginning. Here you are to prove that. Maybe you're not awake and realize you're here, but you are here. You had a beginning. You were born of two parents. A seed and an egg found each other. And in the flash of light, you began. And we recently discovered that at conception, there's a flash of light that goes on in the mother's womb. And what is total darkness inside there, for a brief moment, there's this wonderful light. They've been able to capture that now with modern technology. But God's technology's been in there the whole time. And in that moment, there's a spark. There's light that goes off. And that should tell us something. This should tell us something. It tells me something. It speaks to a creator God. Have you ever been asked when your beginning was? Maybe not, but you're probably asked when your birthday was. Typically, you're asked when you were born, almost as if nothing existed the day before that. When was your birthday? Well, don't you want to know when the flash of light went off and I became a person? Well, clinically, technically, what we see visibly is that birth, and that's what we go by to mark the calendar. But you had a beginning before that. And that's kind of what we're exploring today. What existed before this universe came to be birthed, even. Most agree that it came to be at some point long ago, that everything, even atheists that don't believe in God, believe that everything around us came to be at some point. Time began at a certain point. They're not too sure what was before that or what caused it, other than here it is today, and it had a beginning. It does seem slightly odd to me, and it should be odd to the rest of us here today, that to say that there was nothing and then there was something, and be comfortable with that. But here we see in the first few verses that there was something before all of the things that we experience around us, this creation. There was the Word, and that Word was with God, and that Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Let's continue. All things were made by Him. Now we're talking about a who. We went from the Word talking about what is this Word. Now we're talking about a who. What is this Word? No, it's who is this Word. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Just to make sure it's absolutely clear, in today's language, you'd have exclamations, underlines, yellow highlight. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made through Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, or didn't understand it. One of the greatest inventions of our time, our lifetime, for some of us, was the ultrasound. The ultrasound technology. Somehow that became part of the study in chapter 1. So you're going to hear a lot about the ultrasound today. The invention of it and the practical uses of it, its importance and significance today, and how it parallels God's creation and God Himself even, His reaching out to man. So one of the great inventions of our time was the ultrasound. I've had several of them. I know you've had them. That's how we found out that we've had who was inside there. So many of you have experienced that. It's a wonderful experience because it's just painless. The worst part of it is that it might be a little chilly when they put that gel on to slide the probe around your, or wherever they're probing. But it's just on the surface, it's the most wonderful test ever. It's just the most wonderful. And they're looking inside, and they're simply probing with sound. And that's what's happening here in the scripture that's being brought forward, is that sound came out of God. The Word of God was with God, and the Word was God. And that sound came out into creation and created everything, and that sound continues to do a work. So we're going to see some parallels here. The name of the inventor, which was in the later 50s when it finally came to practical use, his name is Dr. Ian Donald. He's from Britain. He was born 1910. He passed away in 1987. Dr. Ian Donald. So God used him in a wonderful way. We know it's a great instrument that's used in pregnancy care centers all around the world today to allow women to see what's going on inside of them and to get the straight scoop for themselves to see with sound. The Word of God brings us to a place of seeing with sound. The Word reveals its light. And so you see some awesome parallels with the ultrasound today. He's a man that grew up, this Dr. Ian, he grew up well trained in the Bible. He would find himself to be the inventor of such a device that could see with sound. To be able to see before birth, what we understood to be the beginning wasn't so. Something, or rather, someone was already existing and living quite well. In the beginning, something was. And this is what we start with in the chapter of John here. The beginning, something was. It wasn't nothing that became something. The Word existed, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Those two phrases are very important. It speaks of relationship. The relationship of the Son to the Father with God and is God. Okay? Those two are very important. To be able to see before birth, what a wonderful gift that God has given us through this man, Dr. Ian. In the beginning, something was. What he refers to as a baby, this Dr. Ian existed before entering into the world, and he does through all his literature and books that he's written, and he became an advocate for life. In the late 1960s, a decade later, Britain passed what's called the Abortion Act, I believe it was. Something in 1967. He legalized abortion in Britain. And he became, now, from going from being a doctor, he became politically motivated to fight against this. He says, I can see what you guys don't, and I want to show you this. But the light shined in the darkness and didn't comprehend it. It wasn't willing to see it. So we continue today to struggle against this reality of what is actually before the beginning, before the birth. There is something before the birth of all creation, and that was God. Very interesting parallel, very awesome thing to discuss this morning, very important topic. You could imagine after a life's work of such an accomplishment to see abortion legalized, then his work would be expanding into the political, and he would be politically charged, always calling that life in the mother's womb a baby, never choosing anything other than that. The darkness comprehended is what God calls ignoring such incredible revelation. The darkness comprehending not is what God calls ignoring such incredible revelation. What could not be reversed politically continues to shed light for expecting moms, praise God, all around us today. Yesterday, the day before, and the day before, moms have been able to see this life, this baby growing in them. Praise God for that. Documentation, YouTube videos now. Ultrasound mysteriously probing the darkness and giving light. No coincidence, in my opinion. Sound giving light, giving understanding, giving revelation to something that was a mystery before. Maybe something that could be excused before. Now light revealing and something changing. People's lives changing like 180 because of this. making decisions differently because of this. Why? Because the light goes on. The sound produces the light in Revelation. The parallel is intriguing, especially in the context of beginnings. The beginning of all of creation and the beginning of you and me. The expression in the beginning was makes sense when you understand that the word always was. He's eternal. He's without time. Time doesn't affect God. He affects time. What was, the beginning has to do not with something that began, but something that was. The word always was. The word was the Son. Jesus Christ, we sang about him several times today. And maybe we'll finish with that song if we have time and we're not too hot today. We understand things from seeing reality around us. That's a good thing, and it can be a detriment as well. We understand things from seeing reality around us. And we tend to project what we see, what we understand from the reality around us, back to the mysteries that we don't understand. It must be because what I see now, it must be like that. And we project who Jesus is that way. Jesus being a son. Well, I have a son, and so I see Father and Son that way. When just the opposite would be more accurate. It's taking the Word of God, taking His perspective, and projecting it forward into my relationship with my son, and understanding what sonship and fatherhood is all about. So that's the more accurate flow of things. But our tendency as human beings is to project God, the things of heaven, the mysteries that are behind the wall, from the things that we understand and feel around us. But he gave us his word, he sounded out, the Son became flesh, that we would have this light and revelation of who he is. We understand things from seeing the reality around us and projecting that back. We try to understand Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, through the lenses of our experience. To look at this, we really need to see what was at the beginning. Let's take a look at this and pick this apart a little bit. The Word was at the beginning, before the beginning. And we're going to look at Revelation 19:13 to see that used again by John in the Revelation. The understanding of that word being a who. Let's turn there real quick. Revelation 19:13, and we might come back to that a little bit later depending on how things roll here. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that opened that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written on it that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You sang it this morning. The importance of the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to come back to that. But right now, looking at just what that word is, what that means, and that word is a who. It's Jesus Christ. The Word was with God and was God. God exists as a singularity. God exists in a plurality. God exists as one. He's one God, and God exists as three, Father, Son, and Spirit. These are not in opposition to one another. Just because we can't resolve that in our mind by the things we see and experience and try to project that back, it doesn't mean it's not true. They are not in opposition to each other, but they're actually in harmony. We don't have a problem with that, with chords and music. Three chord tunes, they're called. They're the common ones. And they're actually based on harmonics. There's a relationship between three different frequencies that sounds really good. They become one chord. There's a oneness there. There isn't a problem. Do you have a problem with the fact that there's three different things, three different sounds vibrating there that become one in a harmony perfectly, one, yet they're three? That's the most common from what I understand, is the most common element of music, is this three-tone chord, this harmonic. Do we have a problem with that? I don't. It sounds great. We use it all the time. We enjoy it. We can enjoy God in the same way as Father, Son, and Spirit. They're not in opposition to each other, but in perfect harmony. That if you were to describe God in any other way but as one God, it would be less than accurate. That's the most accurate description of Him as one God. Perhaps if you're on the other side of things and you're into the science matters, I won't, though my temptation would be spend a long time here, I won't. Quantum physics would help you maybe understand that singularity and plurality can exist at the same time and not be in opposition. In fact, when they really get quantum physics gets a hold of modern technology and the rubber hits the road and they know how to harness quantum technology, it's going to make your cell phones and your computers look like, you know, the old cha-ching, cha-ching phones of the 1900s and, you know, and those kind of things. And then Maybell's on the other end and say, can you patch me into, you know, that's what your cell phone's going to be like today in your computers. It's just going to be junk compared to quantum technology that is just on the cusp of being released. It's in the universities now and it's like filled with all kinds of wires and it's hard to harness that type of energy. But it's a very strange science, and the people that tap into it tend to go insane because it's so mysterious, it's so wonderful, and so odd at the same time that a single particle could be multiple things at the same time, depending on how you look at it, at the same time. Right now in the binary world of computer science, I won't go too far with this. It's all ones and zeros. Everything's based on that. It's either on or off. And so we live on technologies all based on that. It's a binary world, but in the quantum world, in that reality, it's all going to be based on all states at the same time. So the possibilities are infinite, all at once, infinity at once. Sorry. It's so plurality and singularity, I don't have a problem with at all. They're not in opposition, they're in harmony. Praise God. Could family relationships, a husband and wife, children, father, son, mother, daughter, better help us understand what this word was towards God? Sort of, it all helps, but still, the greatest thing is to take the light of Scripture and look back this way and project that onto these things, quantum physics, music, family. That's the most accurate thing to do. Because He is the originator of everything. He's the source. He's the potter, we're the clay. We need an ultrasound. That's what we need. We need a way to pierce the darkness, to behold the glory of God, the truth and grace. We need the Word. God revealing who He is in perfect clarity so He can reveal Himself to us in perfect clarity. The ultrasound of God. It breaks the barrier, that mystery. I can't see in the mother's womb. I can't see it. I can't see it. Well, use sound. That's crazy. No, it's not. Look, you can see. We're going to convert the sound into a picture, and we're going to be able to see and reveal there's life right there. And God sent His Word. He declared His Word, and it probes the darkness, and it reveals light. And all of a sudden, we see the glory of God in through the Word of God. It's amazing. It's incredible what He's done for us and how He sounded out and sent His Son that the Word would become flesh. God revealing who He is in perfect clarity so He can reveal Himself in us in perfect clarity. When we behold Jesus Christ, we behold the glory of God. That is the perfect view of Him, that He is the Word of God. How exciting. It's too wonderful, David would say in the Psalms. How can I attain? How can I go to this? This is too lofty for me. And he finds himself just shrinking down to being a child. And says, surely I behave myself as a child, as a weaned child, you know, in this great revelation of who He is. Can you imagine the exhilaration? Just being there with Dr. Ian in the discovery where all of a sudden the image first came up. Can you imagine his heart? This, you know, and seeing that, oh my goodness. Who was around him? I don't know. You know, at that time when it finally worked. Jesus Christ. God breathing down on this earth, His Son, His very Word, and that Word taking on flesh. Oh my goodness, the angels giving glory to God. Hosanna in the highest. Certainly it was a great, glorious day that Jesus arrived on this earth. And the darkness would be pierced. We would have revelation of who God is through Jesus Christ. If you've seen Him, you've seen the Father. It is exciting. It is too wonderful. Sometimes I have to focus on weeds and pulling them out of my garden because it's too much. I have to get away. Lord, just let me be simple child. Some of this stuff is too amazing. It's too wonderful, God. Maybe you've taken part in that joy of the ultrasound, of sound revealing pictures from friends, child, of relatives, your own close family. We gaze into another reality so close to ours, yet so far away, so mysterious. It's just right there, but yet we can't see it. So wonderful. The strange pictures are strung on our fridge. They're posted on Facebook or Instagram. In Him was the life, and it was the light of men. The Word of God probing the darkness of man's understanding until we see. Life. The living God, the I Am, the ever-present, the always existing One. So different, so amazing, so life-giving. I don't want to go to the path of death once I've seen this life. This eternal life changes everything. The exposure to Jesus Christ and to God changes everything. The giver of life goes beyond my parents. It goes beyond the beginning of creation and what I know it to be. It goes all the way back to here in 2 Corinthians 4:5. We read it last week. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Last week we read that real slow. I want to read that slow again in the light of John chapter 1. The Word being with God and sounding out to you and me and giving us vision. Now, light, we can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's read it one more time. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, yours and mine. Take it for yourself this morning. He shined in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That revelation is happening. God wants you to know who He is, and He is love, and He loves you. He wants you to sink your roots in of belief down into that beautiful soil of the death of His Son and believing that it was all for you, that He loves you dearly. His Word is our light. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, is our light. It gives us vision. He gives us vision. Christ working in us gives us vision now that's different than the one we had. Hebrews 4 talks about this Word in this way. It's living. It's not words on a page. It's not something I could to lecture and bringing you into the concepts and precepts of living a good life now or something like that. No, it reveals somebody. It reveals the Creator God. Let us labor, therefore, to what? To enter into this rest of finally, instead of just being ignorant and turning our back away from what's being revealed, is finally just embracing it. Finally just turning to it and looking at that sonogram, looking at that ultrasound, and finally embracing what is there. The living God has blessed us with His Word. He's revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, and we need to turn to that light and fully embrace it and be changed by it. Stop turning away. Stop turning back to darkness and fully embrace the light. He says His children come into the light. Your deeds that are dark will try to pull you back. They'll pull you back. You want to step away from the light, but don't. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to have everything revealed. Don't be afraid to humble yourself before God. Allow His light to just totally wash over you and who He is. Don't be afraid. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Turn to the Lord Jesus. Turn into that light. lest any man fall after the same examples of unbelief. This is Hebrews 4, 11 and 12. For the word of God is quick. Sure is. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you guys see an ultrasound happening here today? This is incredible. It's piercing through. It gets beyond that. It beyond what we can't see and penetrate through. It simply passes through the word. The sound passes through and it brings back revelation of what's going on inside. The soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner even of the thoughts and the intents of my heart. If I am humble towards it, if I am allowing that procedure to take place. The greatest test in the world. The easiest thing in the world to is just to believe, you would think. But yet it tells us to strive, to labor, to enter into that rest, to go get that test done, to have that exam done, to have that ultrasound penetrate, to have the word of God received. Is simply entering into a place of rest. But it's a labor to get there because darkness is continually pulling us away. Pulling us away from that light and that revelation. Notice in the transition here in chapter 1, it goes from word to light. It goes from sound to light. The reference to Jesus is now light. Vision, seeing, not with a natural eye that can't penetrate into his reality, but sound. The word reveals and we see. Just as Dr. Ion was used to discover, God used him to discover sound-giving sight into a reality that we couldn't see before. God calls you and me, men and women, young and old, to use the sound of God, the gospel, the Son of God that's dwelling within us to give sight and reality to the people around us, to be light in this world around us. There's a lot just in the first few verses there. Let's continue on. Verse 6, John introduced here. John the Baptist. Different John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Important distinction. He was not the light, but he's bearing witness of that light. John was a man sent by God. Jesus was the Word sent by God. Jesus was the Word sent by God. He was before all conceptions, all births. He existed before all creation. One was created of God. One was with God and was God before all of creation. Back to that verse. All things were created by Him. There is nothing that was created without Him. There are faiths that will tell you that Jesus is creator. That's why I'm emphasizing this point. He preexisted all of it and always existed eternally with God and as God. John is created. Jesus is creator. John is fact part of his creation, which is interesting. The one that's giving witness to him. Who would you choose to be your witness if you were Jesus, the Word proceeding from the Father? Dr. Ion, in my readings of him recently, inventor of the ultrasound, felt humbled that this discovery of sight with sound fell upon him. And he speaks of it that way. It's just like winning the lottery, he said. I just happened to be there at the right time and, you know, be chosen in that way. And he was humbled. You see that humility also here with John, that he was simply chosen. And we'll see that in the chapters that are coming up. You know, I don't deserve to untie the shoes of Jesus. He had that humility of simply being chosen. There wasn't something special of John that God chooses us. He loves us because he loves us. It's all from God. Stop trying to impress him. Try living in the place of defeat. He loves us because he loves us. He's chosen you because he's chosen you. Simply accept that. Walk in that light. God chose you. Chapter 1, verse 9, it talks about that. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Every human that comes in the world has exposure to this light. in one way or another, there is the promise there from God that everyone has an exposure to this light, the light of God. Continuing in verse 10 through 13, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. This is not talking about John the created anymore. Now it's talking about Jesus the Creator, the Word. Just in case anybody missed that. He was in the world. He came into this world. You could see Him, touch Him, talk to Him. And the world was made by Him. So He existed before everything was created. He simply stepped into the creation. And the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many, here's a great promise. And this is what tied me from Corinthian church to John giving the gospel here. How we move from one book to the next was this particular verse. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power. That's the right. You have a right. I've got my rights. Well, you certainly do. You've got a right to be a son or daughter of the living God and nothing less. He gave the power, the authority, the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Sons and daughters are we all. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's our second birth, one of the Spirit. Being called born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, it means the same thing. You're born of God. How do we have this right? It comes from Jesus Christ, the Son, providing that right. Just as He stepped into creation, He invites us now to step into Him. It wasn't possible the other way around to try to step into sonship with God, to step into relationship with God. He had to step into creation in order to make that bridge, in order to make it possible for us to step into who God is. Notice believing in His name. Receiving Him, receiving Jesus. You've prayed that prayer before. If you haven't, I'd invite you to do that today. Receiving Him is simply believing that He died on the cross for you. He paid all the sins. He lived a life of perfection to give you that perfection that you would have the right now to be declared a son, a daughter, a child of God in the fullest of its rights, and the eternity that comes with it and the blessings that come with it are already yours. The invitation is there to receive Him. But I would emphasize in His name, believing in His name this morning, the last part of that verse, to those that believe in His name. I circled that song that we did, and maybe we can end with that today. What a beautiful name. As we end today and we sing this particular song, I want you to think about the things that came forth from the Scripture today, what the Holy Spirit is showing you, what He's driving home, and He wants you to know the love of God, the name of Jesus Christ. This takes us out of the obscurity of things being about good and evil, about forces and Mother Nature, and of all of these things that are obscure in the world, about loving each other and peace in the world and all this. It takes it out of the obscure generalities, and the name talks about now. It's very, very specific. It's Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. When we talk about name, I want you to think about that. It's Jesus Christ. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Hear His voice today. What's His voice declaring? Strive, labor to get into the rest. Stand in the light and don't turn away anymore. Stand in the light of who He is and see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Why we've got a Lord. close in prayer today. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Lord God, we're so thankful for God, your Son coming down in that life, that truth, Lord. He says that you reveal our hearts very quickly and soon, Lord. We just pray your blessing over this day, God. Lord, we're walking, you see your truth reveal the creation around us. That it would just change our hearts, Lord. We ask to seek after you more and more, Lord. Love you, praise you, amen.
Thank you.